And we're back.
Hello.
I've got a nice little break.
Very short little break.
Yes. So I think we're going to keep building on things,
mm-hmm.
assuming Andy really knew what he was talking about, as he's each slide, you know, has a logical linkage set. So we're going to talk about background agents now.
Yeah. So we're in a kind of a bit of a application lifecycle theme at the moment.
Yeah. There's some kind of lifecycle thing happening here.
Yeah.
But a consistent thing we keep seeing is this silly agenda thing every time, right? All right. So as you can see in red, we are on background agents, as we just said. And we only have a few more left to go. Tiles, push notifications, and using phone resources. And then we're done for the day. And then tomorrow, we're going to do a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yes.
It's going to be great. And we'll be up at dark 30 in the morning yet again. All right, so let's dive into this thing. This is exciting stuff. So we're going to talk about task management. We're going to talk about how to do multitasking with these background agents, how to actually create them in Visual Studio, because it would be useless if you couldn't do that. We'll talk about a little touch on some file transfer tasks and background notifications. So I think this is going to be some exciting stuff. So foreground task. Well, you know, I think it's Andy has clearly pointed out. I mean, that's where apps run right now. We do one app at a time. To ensure a great user experience, and so that app's running in the foreground and has access to the user, the screen, and interaction. And at any time, only one's in the foreground. Now, we may have a bunch of dormant apps, and we might have cache hits and cache misses happening in the background and tombstoning, where everything goes to Arizona. And this is to ensure best performance and battery life. It's all about battery life and performance, you know, and people want their phone to last all day. So we also have this cool thing called a background agent that can do work, and it's on behalf of a foreground task, so they don't live in a vacuum. You don't just build them by themselves. And you've got a couple of them, a periodic task and a resource-intensive task. I bet you can figure out the difference there. And the key thing is this agent can run whenever, you know, whether the app it's paired with is running in the foreground or not. But it's not equivalent to a foreground application running in the background. So it's not touching the UI or doing things like that, like you might expect. Think of it as a Windows NT service. Or that's what we used to call them. Then it became a Windows service, or a daemon, or something like that. Except it doesn't last forever. It's not for long-lived things like building a server product or something like that. So now we have a health warning. So there must be some kind of epidemic or something happening here. So stop what you're doing. Listen to this health warning. We're going to restrict the number of agents that are allowed to be going at the same time. Again, this is all about battery user experience. And there are, and the right conditions, you know, if the right conditions do not arise, they will not run. So you can't actually guarantee that they're always going to run like you might expect them to.
Yeah, no, I always think of these guys as kind of nice sugar frosting. It's kind of it's a value add where you can do nice stuff that's going to make your users' experience better, and you can do things like, you know, well, you're going to talk about what they're going to do.
I'm going to talk all about that.
But yeah, but you mustn't. The key is you mustn't put any critical application logic into a background agent, because there are a number of reasons why it may never run. The user could disable agents for your app. There's a UI in the settings for that. So it's nice value add stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like going in and disabling an NT service that the admin installed on your PC.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's like that. All right. So agents and tasks. So this task is the scheduling object that you're going to use to register your background agent functionality with the OS, you know, for later execution, you know, running in the background. You know, and again, it's either, you know, it could be a periodic task or resource intensive. So the agent is the code that you write in which the task executes at the appropriate time in the background. You don't control that time so much, so appropriate is relative to what the device believes, the OS believes is appropriate. And again, your application can only have one background agent paired with it. But it could run, we have a way where you can kind of split it in two and run either as a...
Well, the key thing is that you can only have one project, and you've got some code in it that will be run at some point as a background agent, and it could be run in both modes.
Okay. So periodic tasks. Every now and then. That sounds really vague, doesn't it? So we'll get a little more specific and say maybe every 30 minutes or so, depending on the phone. If your 30 minutes comes up and it turns out that you're in power save mode, then you might be out of luck, or if you have no wireless or something like that. So this task, they have to complete quickly, so they can't run any longer than about 25 seconds. They've got to get their work done. They also can't just blow out and use tons of memory and RAM on the device, so they've got to keep it under 6 meg. And the device will shut it down after 2 consecutive crashes, so you need to not be mediocre, as it were. There's so many great uses for these things, you know, whether it's location tracking, pulling down background data, like small amounts of data, uploading data. Maybe you're doing logging in your application. You've instrumented your app, and you need to send logging information about the performance of the app or how users actually use the app or things like that, or error logs, and send it back to the server so your QA team can analyze those things. So lots of great uses for these periodic tasks. And, of course, tile updates. Resource-intensive tasks. So these need to, more heavy-duty stuff, right? Yeah. When they're powered by the mains, which is another British thing. It's allowed now. But, you know, when I think of the mains, you know, I think of the, I don't know. I don't know why I think of the Starship Enterprise and the main, we've lost the mains and we're having to go back to impulse power or something like that. So if you're plugged in, if you've got 90% charging, you know, or if you got Wi-Fi, things like that, and you're going to do something really intensive. Now, we still don't want you to go over 6 meg, but, and we're still going to kill you after your 2 consecutive crashes. But this is a good time, you know, if you needed to synchronize, download a lot of data, you know, not just the small amounts, you know. And so, a good example of that, if you can pop up here for a second, I want to show you a brand new device we just came out with.
Oh my god.
Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
This is a company in Houston called Compaq. And they've created this amazing device. Look at this cutting edge design. Now you can imagine though, if I'm going to do a resource intensive task, maybe I'll want to use something like this, which is a sleeve that I can slide in here and click in, because I need to download a lot of data. And so maybe I'm going to use an SDIO card like this one here. It's Ethernet. And then I can just plug it in. So this might be a good example for resource intensive. Or you could just use one of these new phones instead. So dual purpose agents. So periodic or resource intensive. What is that all about, Andy? That's like where you determine on the fly, kind of?
Yeah, you can only have, well, here's the deal. So when you're going to come on to talking about scheduling these guys, so you have one project that can run as a background agent. You've got code in it. So you've got these two modes where you can run for 10 minutes or you can run for 25 seconds. But your single background agent can be scheduled as both of those, and it can run as both of those. So when it starts up, you get an args that's passed in, and you can figure out what mode you're being started in.
Okay.
And then you can just branch to either the 25 second processing,
right,
or the 10 minutes do loads of stuff processing. So
perfect.
It just means that you can just have a conditional logic in there that can do both.
That's great. That's good flexibility. So what kind of things can we do here? Well, we've talked about updating tiles. There's also Toast. The shoot across the top there. We talked about the location, and we're going to go a lot more into that later on. Networking, you know, calling your web services, things like that. Reading and writing files to the ISO storage. Sockets, just another form of networking. And then, of course, you're restricted, you know, this whole display UI. You're not running a foreground app, really. So, again, if you, in your mind, think of a short-lived NT service, you know, that you're doing, that's gonna communicate with non-UI elements. Or if it does do a UI element like a tile, it's because it can do it asynchronously and light it up from the background. So location tracker. So we have our infamous captain's log thing, and now we have this location log. And so we have a simple location logging, you know, and we, you know, our Starfleet command has asked us, in this case, to add a location tracking feature to the device. And this thing has to work even when the log application is also running in the foreground.
Well, yeah, and the real problem is that, you know, these starships, they keep being used, you know, going off all places, and they can't keep track of these things. So we need to have a little bit of software running on there to keep track of these things so you can figure out where your starship is.
Oh, well, that's important to know.
Mm.
So I wonder how we might get about doing that. Oh, look at this. As it turns out, there's a template for this. We can create a background agent. And so when you're inside Visual Studio, and you'll just fire it up, you're going to do your scheduled task. And then there's the code that you'll end up putting in there. You know, I remember Rob Miles saying, you know, I know we've been talking about Star Trek a lot, and Star Trek, I agree with him. It is a lot like Shakespeare, except with ray guns. And so, you know, I hope you're out there watching, Rob, because I'm right there with you on this thing. So let's move along. So we have our solution file. And as you can see, we've got our logger application, you know, paired up with that task agent that's going to run in the background. And, you know, you can obviously have all kinds of different, you know, projects inside your solution. Well, let me back up there 1 second. I didn't touch on is the solution assembly file. The whole idea of kind of referring to the agent between the two, and how they all will be combined into the same zap file.
Yep.
And put in there. You know, it's not like they're all over the place. They're clearly tightly bound together. So in the code that schedules the background agent, you know, you're going to look in a minute. You don't explicitly reference a class in the schedule task agent project. But you simply schedule a periodic task or resource-intensive task. And that way the runtime knows which assembly to use to find the background agent code through that reference.
But this trips a lot of people up.
Cause yes.
Yeah, because you can
create... The linkage is really weird.
Yeah, you can create the project and add it to your solution. And there's nothing... Normally when you reference something in a class library, if you haven't actually referenced it, you get a compilation error because you're referencing some object that's defined in the other project. And, you know, if you haven't added a reference, mm-hmm. The thing with these guys is you don't actually have, there's nothing that's going to turn up at compile time if you've forgotten to do that. It just won't work.
Right.
So, yeah, if your background agent doesn't seem to be running, the first thing I would check is that you've actually remembered to add a reference from your foreground app to the background agent project.
Important stuff.
Mm.
Or it won't work. All right, so here, let's take a quick little look at this background agent code. It looks very simple. Basically, all the magic happens in the onInvoke area there. And so whatever code it is you want it to do, you just put it in there. And then you've got to call the notifyComplete, which tells the system, hey, I'm done with this. So let's see an example of some code you can do there. So in this kind of thing, you know, obviously you've got these paired together for a reason. You know, you want to share data between the two of them. And luckily, you've got that isolated storage area that can do exactly that.
It's the exact same isolated storage area is shared by the foreground app as is used by your background agent. So
they can both...
I mean, and this makes obvious sense because one of the things you probably really want to do with a background agent is you're going to go off to a web service and download some data mm-hmm. or something, and then you're going to store it in a file which your foreground application can then use. And you probably update some tiles or something, but it means that when your user starts that foreground application again, they've got fresh data that's already been preloaded and
right.
You get a good user experience, which is what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. So yeah, I think you're both going to read and write to that same isolated storage to share data between each other. Oh, but wait.
But wait.
What if they're both running at the same time?
They can both run at the same time.
Could we have a concurrency problem?
Potentially, because the background agents are actually scheduled?
Yes, scheduled.
Scheduled and run by the OS. So it's got there's a scheduled agent service mm-hmm. that is responsible for running these guys. And it kind of does things like, if you've got a number of apps that have all have registered agents, you know, it'll kind of batch them up and do things efficiently. So the OS is responsible for running it. But essentially what that means is that your background agent is running as a separate process from your foreground app. They could easily be running at the same time. Well, not easily, but they could happen.
So you really needed to lock that row in the table,
yep.
as it were.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that with the mutex.
Mutex. Named mutexes.
They're your friend.
Old school
yes.
synchronization primitive. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's how you're going to be ensure that you're the only one accessing, working with the file mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so definitely don't forget to do that, because you never know if they're going to be running at the same time. Background location tracking. So this is interesting stuff. You know, the device, you know, you can do rough tracking. You know, the agent's going to be running every 30 minutes and so.
Potentially,
yeah. Yeah, ish.
As long as there's battery and all the other reasons why it may not, but yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe not super accurate, but...
it's good for a rough fix.
It's a good for a rough fix.
Yeah.
I agree. And so, you know, you can get that for free. Now we know there's something better, and that's coming later on.
We'll talk about the continuous background location tracking tomorrow.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's going to be the good stuff. So, Toast. Notifications. A Windows Phone, the Toast comes up at the top, and you can see it. And so in the back, in that on invoke, you can create a new Toast, give it a title, and give it a message, and show it. And you can have that pop up every 30 minutes, which could be really interesting or annoying, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then this is the part here, this is interesting. This is the code in your foreground app that you're writing to kick off and make the background app agent work. So you explicitly do that to make that happen. You find it, and then you have an expiration, which I found interesting.
Mm.
So they can't just go on forever, I guess.
No, that's right. You've got to set an expiration time on a periodic task or a resource-intensive task. And
right.
The maximum time you can put on it is, 20 days?
Something like that.
Yeah, 20 days, yeah.
And then the user...
The deal here is that you've got to put this expiration time on it. So this code here you're looking at will renew the schedule.
Yes.
I really don't know which continent am I on at the moment.
You don't even know how to speak your own tongue anymore, do you?
I've forgotten completely.
The wheels have come off, folks.
They have. Yeah. you'd have to renew the running of this thing. Every time your user runs a foreground app, you're going to renew the scheduling of the task at the background agent. And what is going on here is that if your user doesn't run the foreground app, then when that 10 or 20 days that you've put on the expiration time expires, then the OS will stop running your background agent. And the thinking here is if the user hasn't run the foreground app, then there's clearly nothing to be gained by the OS continuing to run the background agent, because clearly the user doesn't like this app.
True.
So why waste resources running its background agent? So that's
Absolutely.
What the thinking is. So you need to just renew every time the user runs the foreground app.
Absolutely. All right. So let's see how we can debug this. So this is kind of nice, because you don't want to wait for 30 minutes, do you?
Well, you could. But
you could.
Yeah.
You could. So you've got this little conditional stuff going on here in the time span. So when you're debugging, it actually allows you to do something like every 60 seconds, where you can pop that up over and over again.
So, this launch for test method is a special just for development, so you can kick the thing off and not have to wait
Excellent.
An arbitrary amount.
You know, I'd love to see what that's like.
Indeed. Well, funnily enough,
as it turns out,
we can do that.
Excellent.
All right. So here's the location logger that is we're going to run. Let's just run it in the emulator first, and the app is simple enough when it loads, and it uses that code that we've just been looking at. So here's our foreground app is running, and it prints location logs to the screen. And what we're going to do under this start tracking, when I hit this button, we hit a breakpoint. So this is the code that we're going to look at. This is where we are scheduling the agent. So we first of all find if there's one of that name already there, which is null, because that's not surprising, because we haven't run this before. And then we're going to, if it wasn't null, we were going to remove it and then renew it, so add it again. So this is the refreshing code. So we new up a periodic task object, give it a description, and this will turn up in the settings on the phone. And then we add it to the scheduled action service. And this is the debug thing. So we're going to say, OK, I want Ashes to launch this thing in 60 seconds time. So then we just let it run. And then we wait for 60 seconds. And while we're doing that, actually, let's just show you now in the settings where we can see here applications, background tasks. And it will tell us there, location logger is currently allowed to do background processing.
Wow.
But you could actually block it. The user can block it. So it's to be debated whether most users would ever find this UI.
They probably would never find it.
No. But they can. This is one way.
But if someone writes a book.
Yeah.
the how-to for Windows Phone 8
if they
book,
did, yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Step by step.
Yeah. So, actually, I'm going to close this app because then what I want is the background agent to put a toast up when it runs.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm standing by, waiting
standing
for
by,
toast.
Waiting for the 60 seconds to...
Yeah. I know
to,
this is the best part of the whole...
It is, deal. It is, yeah, yeah. This is like... But just think, if we had to wait 30 minutes, how Ooh. Difficult that would be to...
We would both be just like
yeah.
out cold, something
totally,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I know this toast is coming any time now.
You think so?
It's coming out of that little clever toast machine they have, like at the buffets at the hotel.
Surely we've been 30 seconds, 60 seconds by now.
It seems like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there's only so much killing time we can do here.
That actually seems like 60 minutes now.
Mm, yeah.
You know, was maybe, this a periodic task or was this a resource-intensive one?
It's a non-functioning one. That's
do
what
you need
it is.
To hit the turbo button?
Something needs to happen. Yeah.
I'm sure that just as we're about to give up on it...
Oh, there we go!
Oh, that's what it is. It's a breakpoint.
On invoke. No, yeah, so we're actually into the agent now. Thank goodness.
All right.
Just in the nick of time.
I think he was probably sitting on that breakpoint for the last, you know,
no, I think
59
you're right.
seconds.
So here we go, Duak geo-coordinate watcher. So we're getting some stuff. Now, this doesn't work terribly well in the emulator, so we just substitute a string in here to say we're in the emulator. I've got a device here. I could run it in there, but hey, you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll save the devices for cooler demos.
Cooler stuff like Tap to Connect and that sort
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly, that's what people want to see.
And then we let it run. And
there
look,
it is.
We've got a toast. Location we tracker loaded. There's a toast that's popped up at the top there.
Excellent.
And actually, I think we'll carry on doing this for the next hour. It's a good job I turned the sound off, like we were doing this last year, and we were trying to carry on with the next session. And
yeah,
we were
going kept making
noise all the time.
Oh, I know, that's got to be
annoying. It's kind of annoying.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's get back at it here then. All right, so what have we just seen? Well, we've clearly seen a background task, finally.
Yes.
And it logged it, you know, it ran even when the other one could be running. Well, we don't really know. But that's what the directions say. And it loads the information with the phone, added to the log, and it finally did show us some toast, which was good news. So tips and tricks, kind of like best practices. So renew often. If you aren't renewed, you die, right?
I suppose, yeah, that's true. But I suppose you could put some logic into your background agent that when it runs, it kind of knows how much time it has to live and realizes it hasn't been
remember, you only lived
renewed.
To age 30,
yeah.
And then, but it turned out no one was renewed, right, in Logan's run?
Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah, I
people
didn't know what
were
you were talking about that.
People are hoping to be renewed, but yeah, mm-hmm. as it turns out, it really was a
yep.
sham.
So you could start putting ever more increasingly frenzied toast messages up.
Yes.
Like, please
renew
please
me.
Run the foreground please. Application.
Please, sir. the other takeaway is we love these background agents, but don't bet the farm on them. You yeah. know, don't put the most critical stuff back there. You know, there may be something else we could use to ensure we get critical information down to the device more reliably. And maybe that's something we might talk about, like
might
a push,
talk about push
notification.
Yeah, yeah, so the key there is if you really have got some critical logic that you want to run outside of the context of the foreground app, yeah, the only way you can do that really is to do it on the server. And use notifications, which we'll talk about the session after next.
Absolutely.
To communicate back to the device, to the app.
So remember, periodic app, 30 minutes or so, resource intensive, connected to the mains. That means your plug on the wall. Or hoping that you've got a good charge. Wi-Fi is a good thing. If you're in France, you'll have Wi-Fi. The audio playback we didn't really touch on, but I know you touched on that in the last several sessions of this thing. That can go on in the background as well. And again, you know, they share information in the same isolated storage folder. And look how simple it was to make them. So we're done.
Good.
Excellent.
All right. So that was background processing.
Yes.
In brief. We're going to touch on it a little bit in the next one as well. We're
Absolutely.
Actually going to show how we can update tiles from a background agent. So we're just going to take a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
Ten even.
Okay. We're obviously well on
wow.
schedule again at last.
See, you find it hard to say schedule.
I cannot say
you?
It. I cannot say it. Yeah.
See, something's happening.
Ah, oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see you
shortly.